Hey church, this is Paul, one of your pastors. Welcome back to the Disciple SBC podcast. Today I'm joined by Kelton, and we are going to be taking a few minutes to think together about funerals. Hi Kelton, how are you?
Doing well, brother. Thank you. Good to be here.
Yes, good to have you. This felt like a good topic for us to consider briefly, funerals. Maybe a surprising topic for some who are listening. But as a church, we recently had a funeral for Franklin Taylor. But also then, Kelton, you, Rebecca, and your family went that same week to the funeral for Rebecca's grandmother, Lillian. Mm-hmm. And so funerals have been present in your life and in our life as a church. So as we begin, what is a funeral?
Yeah, funerals are a unique combination of both celebration and mourning, right? Funerals offer us the time to genuinely, sincerely celebrate the gift that person, that life was, in ways that, you know, depending on the individual, are appropriate. But mixed in with that celebration should be, I would say, the most intense grief that we can experience, right? Death is an enemy. It's a final enemy. It's terrible. It still is, even though it's been defeated by Christ at the cross. We're reminded at funerals, at death, that this is not the way that it's supposed to be. Death is not a natural part of the world. So I just think of, even our Lord Jesus Christ's perfect response to death, the funeral of his friend Lazarus. That's where he wept in true grief. The Bible says that he hated it.
Amen.
Well, if that's a funeral, brother, I'm curious if you could think for us how, as Christians, should we be thinking differently about funerals than maybe non-Christians would.
Yeah, that's good. I think that's assuming something, right? We as Christians are to think differently from non-Christians about funerals, and that's because of something that we read in 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Let me read that for us. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. This is the Apostle Paul writing to this church in Thessalonica. And he's writing and saying that those who are Christians think differently about death, about those who are asleep, than those who are not Christians. See, when non-Christians come to a funeral, they are confronted with not only the finality of death, but that in a negative sense. They will never again see this person. This is the end of their life. It is a negative thing. And it is a negative thing, even for us as Christians. But it comes more as the end of the train of life rather than merely a stopping point. And non-Christians can also should come to a funeral, and I don't know if they all do, but hopefully this is something they are doing, is they're confronted then with the coming of eternity far sooner than we often think. We can go about life often not aware of eternity. And so when non-Christians come to a funeral where they're thinking about death and the end of this person's life, it reminds them that their life is going to end soon. And as Christians, those things are true. That there's not any, maybe nothing different from that. We come with those same thoughts, but we come with a different feeling, a feeling of hope. And that's because, as Paul continues in 1 Thessalonians 4:14, so he says, we grieve not like others, right? We grieve with hope. Why is that? For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. So the resurrection teaches us that Jesus rose again. And so in the resurrection, if we believe that, then all those who are with him will rise again with him. All who are united to him by faith and repentance. And this radically changes our thinking in regards to funerals. Rather than death being the end of the train, they are merely a stopping point on our way to heaven. So I think those are a few ways that we may think a little differently about funerals. But while we may think differently about funerals from non-Christians, funerals are actually beneficial, right, for all people. So Kelton, as you think about it, what are some of the benefits of a funeral service done well?
I think of a line of an author who said something like, outside of every funeral home, God holds up his sign, life is brief, time is short. So he's channeling what we might read in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 2. The King Solomon writes that it's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, for this is the end of all mankind, and the living will lay it to heart. So I think in this inspired text of Scripture, Solomon is telling us that it is better for us, that we should prefer going to funerals to weddings or birthday parties. Because weddings and birthday parties, as wonderful as they are, they don't tend to cause us in life to consider whether we are living well and living for what matters. They can be very superficial. So really, funerals, this house of mourning that Ecclesiastes 7 speaks of, they're divinely appointed opportunities for us to consider as we gather what will happen at our funeral. What will people be saying about us?
Yeah.
What will our hope be on that day when we are in the grave and others think about us? So I'm reminded also of Ecclesiastes 3:20, where Solomon again says that all go to one place, all are from the dust, and to dust all return. Mm. Right? This is all of our fate. None escaped us. The death rate is 100%. And I also think one of the benefits of a funeral service done well is it's a very unique opportunity for us as the church to share the gospel, right? In our culture, even for people who never go to church, they will go to church, to a church service for a funeral.
Hmm.
So it really might be the only time some people are confronted with the reality of sin as the the cause of death, and that the only hope that we have in face of death is in Jesus Christ, his resurrection from the dead, his substitutionary death on our behalf. Yeah. So it's really a unique time to minister the gospel to family, to friends, as they grieve this death.
Huh.
Well, brother, if those are some of the benefits, why would we as pastors encourage every member of our church to attend a funeral of a church member, even if they don't even know that church member, didn't know them in life?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I think even as you talk about some of those benefits, like, right, it is better to go to the house of mourning than it is the house of feasting, right? That there is something good about going to funerals just in general, right? That taking advantage of an opportunity like the death of a church member to remember and to meditate on the reality of death, but the hope that the gospel brings. You know, something else it does, it reflects the reality of the depth of relationships that are created in the gospel. I've heard it said that we are often sometimes closer to those who are Christians than those who are blood relatives, because we have a unique hope that ties us together. We are bought by the same blood of Jesus Christ, and that creates a unity that is so unique. And in that depth of relationship, it helps us proclaim the beauty of the gospel to those around us when we come to the funeral for someone even we don't know well. As we're talking to friends at work about that, maybe afterwards or beforehand, right? It reflects kind of the beauty of what the gospel creates in the depth of relationship. It reflects, you know, how Scripture teaches of the church, that the church is a family, that it is a body, that it is a house. Right, all of these things are interdependent on one another. And so in that, right, that in those interdependent relationships, when one is removed from us, that is significant. That is a significant loss. Even if we didn't know them well, right, we are losing a finger, we're losing a brick in the house, we're losing a member of our family. And so we should take time to grieve. You know, not only that, but it gives us an opportunity to then comfort other members, right? So there might be members who knew, maybe just for example, Franklin Taylor very well. And what a unique opportunity to be able to spend time comforting them during the service, after the service, during usually a meal that might be shared after the service. It just gives a unique opportunity to comfort other members and build kind of that depth of relationship that we long for. And kind of another benefit of that is that it gives us opportunity to talk about the gospel to non-believing family members of whoever has died. It gives us opportunity to even practice sharing the gospel, living out the mission that God has called us to. Well, Cotton, as we conclude, just as we reflect, as you reflect on funerals, can you think of a funeral service that you benefited from personally?
Yeah, brother. Obviously, I haven't been to many. You know, I'm younger. I'm sure the pace at which I attend funerals will increase as this experience for many people, and maybe decrease as everybody I know has died. But as I particularly think about it, in college, a good friend, a Christian, was killed tragically in a motorcycle accident. And me and a number of my friends drove up to Vermont to attend his funeral at his home church there. And what is really clear to me, and I remember to this day, is the pastor's preaching at that funeral on a treasured verse from Scripture, Romans 8:28. It says, "We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." And he really confronted us with the reality that this promise is true for even our deceased brother, Phil Grosser, that God is and has worked all things for his good, even in his untimely, as we would call it, death. So yeah, I just think I can read that verse and maybe believe that it's true and love that's true, but to have that reality pressed into my heart in one of the most difficult circumstances of my young life when I was in college, to see that and experience that not only with me as his friend, but other friends and his family, his Christian mother and father and siblings. I mean, really to experience that together with them really crystallized that truth for me. I have no doubt that Romans 8:28 is true because I got to see it lived out so well by that church, by that family, by my friends at that funeral so many years ago.
Wow. Praise God. Well, friends, while we don't long for funerals, may we remember that for those who love God, all things work together for good, even funerals. And may we be encouraged in that as we go. Thanks for listening.